Him Shema Sudaya Vibhutaya. Asam Yuga Vikhatanai. Raho Jushakim Harina. Shambhuna Bhavinokasha. Kim Indre Nalpa Viryena. Ramana Bhata Pasyata. Uselessly while away from the battlefield, only where there is no fighting can they show their prowess. Therefore, from such demigods we have nothing to fear. As for Lord Vishnu, he is in seclusion in the core of the hearts of the yogis. As for Lord Shiva, he has gone to the forest. And as for Lord Brahma, he is always engaged in austerities and meditation. The other demigods headed by Indra are devoid of prowess. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kamsa's ministers told Kamsa that all the exalted demigods had fled in fear of him. One had gone to the forest, one to the core of the heart, and one to engage in tapasya. Thus you can be free from all fear of the demigods, they said. Just prepare to fight. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nitham Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. In this chapter, which is entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa, we have heard from Srila Shukadeva Goswami how Kamsa, the cousin brother of Devaki, cruelly murdered 6 consecutive children from his own sister. Due to his attachment to his material body, which naturally creates the fear of death, to the degree one is attached to this material body, one becomes very much attached to enjoying through this body. When we are under the illusion of the bodily concept of life, our source of happiness is sense gratification. And we require this body for sense gratification. The more fit the body is, the better it can enjoy the pleasures of the senses. In material civilization, as the progressive ways of our particular society, people are becoming more health conscious. Why are they health conscious? Devotees should also be health conscious, but it's a completely different mentality. The materialistic people think that I am this body, and I need a healthy body to fulfill the very purpose of my life, which is to enjoy. Therefore, they go through so many amazing different regimens to somehow or other become healthy. However, a devotee understands we are not this body. This body is not a place of enjoyment. Ultimately, old age, disease, and death will inevitably spoil everything. So before that time comes of old age, disease, and death, we want to transcend the desire to enjoy through this body. And the process is through devotional service. Devotional service means that we live for the pleasure of Krishna. Tapo divyam dutra kayena sattva. Human life is meant for tapasya. Tapasya means to accept any sort of inconvenience to give happiness to Krishna. However, in order to perform our service or our tapasya, to its best degree, we require healthy body. So therefore, according to what is possible, we try to keep this body and soul together, as Prabhupada said. We don't try to be healthy because we want to enjoy a healthy life. We want to keep as healthy as possible for the purpose of engaging in the best possible service for the Lord and His devotees. That's all. And in this consciousness, we transcend the ultimate fear of death. Whereas those who are health conscious for material sense enjoyment, the more healthy they become, the more attached they become to the enjoyment of that health, and the more they suffer when it's gone, and it will go. It is just a matter of time. And as they increase the facility of sense gratification, they become more and more and more fearful of death, because everything is taken away. So Kamsa is a great, powerful, mystic yogi. He had the strength of 10,000 elephants. He subjugated the entire kingdom by illegal means from his own grandfather, or his own father, Ugrasena. Such a wicked-hearted person, with so much strength, power, and prestige, but he was always in the anxiety due to fear of death. Because at death, everything is taken away. In the spirit of his fear, he engaged in the most abominable activities, with his own hand ruthlessly murdering 6 newborn infant children from his own sister. The 7th child was Sri Baladeva. By the power of Yogamaya, he was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, who was living in Sri Gokul, Vrindavan. So that was considered to be a miscarriage. But it was the 8th child that he had the greatest fear of, because the voice in the sky pronounced to Kamsa, "It will be the 8th child of Devaki that will be the cause of your death, you fool." When the 8th child was born in the prison house of King Kamsa, Krishna appeared from out of the womb in his beautiful divine Vaikuntha form. Then he instructed Vasudeva, "Take me across Jamuna to Mahavan, Gokul, and exchange me with the little baby girl who was born of Yashoda." When Kamsa heard the baby crying, little baby girl, immediately came, no hesitation, grabbed the little girl from Devaki's arms, who was trying to protect him, as any mother would want to protect a child, any civilized mother. Srila Prabhupada explains, today the mothers are becoming Kamsas, killing their own children in the womb. But Devaki would give her life for her little baby girl, even though it wasn't her own baby. She had such compassion, she was willing to give her life for someone else's baby. This is mother. When Kamsa took out from her arms, and despite all of his own sister's piteous appeals, he lifted her to smash her against a stone to death. The little baby Yogamaya slipped out of his hands, went into the sky, and appeared as Durga Devi, riding upon her chariot, 8 arms, holding various weapons. She told Kamsa, "You are a fool. The 8th son of Devaki is born elsewhere. He will be the cause of your death." So Kamsa became very sober. He actually apologized to Devaki and Vasudeva. He saw the inevitable was coming about. So he had a change of heart. he actually was becoming a little compassionate and sensitive to the reality around him. But then what happened is Kamsa could not sleep very well. He approached his ministers to tell them what had happened. His ministers, they were very, very much attached to their own positions. And they were all infatuated by so much power and prestige. They were speaking these words to Kamsa. You should just give us the order. We will kill every child that was born within 10 days of today or more. We have nothing to fear. We are all powerful. We must kill the children. You must arrest Vasudeva and Devaki. You should not be a coward. And here they're giving such nonsense advice to Kamsa. The demigods, they are so much afraid of you. At the mere sound of your bow, when you pull the string, the demigods run in fear of their lives. They may talk all nonsense, but when they meet you on the battlefield, they cannot stand before you. And as far as Lord Vishnu, you have no fear of Vishnu. Out of fear of you, he's hiding in the hearts of the yogis. And as far as Shiva, out of fear of you, he's run away to the forest. And Brahma, what can he do? He's simply immersed in meditation and tapasya. And Indra and these other little insignificant demigods, they cannot stand before you. You will extinguish them within a moment. Therefore, Kamsa, let us do what we should be doing. You are so great, you are so powerful, you are so heroic, you are supreme. Now, Kamsa, how could he resist such glorification? He was bound to submit to the intoxicating words of flattery given by these so-called well-wishers and ministers, who were actually his worst enemies. But actually, we all have something in common with Kamsa. We've all been like little Kamsas in our materialistic way of life, trying to enjoy the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acting independently, engaging in various sinful activities, maybe not to the extent of Kamsa, but even if we tried our hardest, we could never come to the extent of Kamsa. We're just little sinners. He was a big, big, big sinner with so much power to do terrible things. So we were all in this condition, and then somehow or other, by the kicks of Maya Durga, we were somehow or other sobered up. And we realized that this is not the way of life I should be living. I should give up all this nonsense materialistic activities. I should honor the Vaishnava. But then again, there's all this bad association around us who are telling us, no, no, not like this. You have nothing to fear. This is the normal life. It's a very, very difficult test to resist, especially when we are proud. Pride is worst enemy. When you become proud, you think yourself to be something so special, so important, so great, that the world is revolving around me. Within my environment or surroundings, how will it all survive without me? But somehow or other, Durga Devi, one way or other, she smashes us. She sobers us up. She tells us, you're not the king, you're not the lord. However, if we're surrounded by people like Kamsa's ministers, who actually have something to gain by keeping us in our position, then through so many words of flattery, through so much glorification, what happens? We cannot resist hearing these things. It's what we want to believe. We're just looking for someone to agree with us that it's true. And that's all we need to confirm our way of life. So this is the danger, great, great, terrible danger of this material existence. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, what is a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is one, a satsangatyaga, a Vaishnava achar. A person who associates with devotees and gives up the association of non-devotees and people too much attached to their egoistic desires for sense gratification. This is Vaishnava. Association is so powerful. Recently, I was reading, Srila Prabhupada was talking about his own son. His eldest son. He explained, he was telling this to his youngest son. He said, what a wonderful boy he was. He was so naturally devoted to Krishna. And he so much loved to offer respect and service to the Vaishnavas. He said that my godbrothers, whenever he would see them, he would offer his obeisances, dandavat obeisances to them again and again. And they loved him like their own child. They were always showering blessings upon him. And when he would see my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said he would offer his prostrated obeisances before him and come forward with folded palms and say, Guru Maharaj, please, please, please give me your blessings. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so affectionate toward him. All the Vaishnavas were so affectionate, just showering blessings upon him, like own child. And how he used to love to come and dance in the kirtan. He used to love to bow down and do seva for the deities. Such a natural little devotee. But Srila Prabhupada explained, after I left, he got in bad association. And due to that bad association, his whole life is uselessly spoiled. He's antagonistic toward Krishna consciousness. Doesn't have anything to do with Vaishnava. He was praying, please try to bring him to see me. But he would not even come. His father, who had been empowered to be the greatest preacher in whole Vaishnava history, he couldn't even appreciate it. Didn't even want to come and meet him. Prabhupada was explaining, this is the power of bad association. And what is the power of good association? That these lechers and yavanas of the Western world who had no conception of Krishna whatsoever, they are surrendering their lives to following the pure principles of Vaishnavism according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Association is so important. What to speak of Srila Prabhupada's son, Krishna's son, Bhoma. Varaha Deva impregnated the earth planet, Bhumi, and they gave birth to Bhoma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his form of Varaha Deva, when he revealed it to Murari Gupta, was explaining like this. He was such a nice devotee, Bhoma. He was so pious, so religious, so pure. But due to having association with Vanasura, he became a demon. He became antagonistic toward his own father and the devotees, enemy of the Brahmins. Previously, he was a humble servant of the Brahmins. What do you associate with, you become like. If Kamsa only had some nice association, he could have converted into being the great devotee at that point. However, because he was surrounding himself by people who wanted to exploit for their own purposes, that bad association made him more demoniac than ever before. Previously, he was killing specifically his sister's children because she was supposed to be the one to give birth to the boy that would kill him. But due to the association of his ministers, he sent his armies out and his Rakshasa associates to kill every child born of anybody, anywhere in his kingdom. And demons like Putana, Srila Prabhupada explained, she killed thousands of children. She would kill them, she would eat them, she was a Rakshasi. All in the order of Kamsa. And the more children that died, the more Kamsa was feeling some security in his life, some hope. This is fear. And how much, when we are intoxicated by false ego, when we have this bad association, how much illusioned we can be to believe anything. Now, Kamsa was a great scholar of the Vedas. He may have misused all his knowledge because he wanted to usurp the world for his own enjoyment. However, if someone were to speak to you what these ministers are speaking to Kamsa, would you believe it? No fear of Vishnu, he's hiding in the hearts of the yogis out of fear of you. No fear of Shiva, he's in the forest, hiding. No fear of Brahma, he's useless. All he's good for is meditation and tapasya. What can he do? Would any of you believe such nonsense? How is it Kamsa believed it? This is the power of bad association. It's the most obvious thing in the whole world that there must be a creator, a person who has designed this universe. Any child just growing up with no information at all would come to this natural conclusion that how the planets are moving in such order, how the world is working with such precision, technology, how this body that we're living in, Srila Prabhupada explained, you eat food, you don't know what's happening, but all of this whole mechanical device called the body is digesting the food, extracting the vitamins, putting them in your bloodstream, taking all that's good out of the food and making it into build your cells, and then whatever's left over, finished, it goes out one way or the other. Perfect machine. Anybody with any common sense knows there must be a creator of such a creation. However, we associate with these atheistic scientists who are like the ministers of Kamsa, and you're taught there is no God, everything is happening by chance, there are big bangs exploding and creating all of life. That's more absurd than Vishnu hiding in the hearts and Shiva hiding in the forest. And we believe it! Because we want to justify that I am the enjoyer. There's no one watching me. I can do anything I want. In this way, the whole world is being duped by this completely illogical, irrational, nonsense ideas in the name of science. If anyone was unmotivated, they would reject it. But because since time immemorial, we are motivated, we want to be the enjoyer, we want to consider ourselves independent. This is good justification. It makes no sense, but it's good justification. Mayavad philosophy is word jugglery. The other day, I happened to have to hear this Mayavad philosopher speak for a few minutes in a program that I was speaking in. And within seconds, I just chanted, Japa! It's completely ridiculous what they speak. So much word juggling. Everything's one, all's one, everything's come. Makes no sense to a person who has no motivation. However, because we want to be God, we don't want to be the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, this ridiculous word jugglery sounds so true. It makes so much sense. It's the highest truth.
Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. The world is an illusion. What fool would believe this?
But because of our false egos, we believe it. We want to believe it. The ego wants to believe it. The soul is being cheated. So this is the condition of human society. The blind leading the blind. What is the destination? The deep, dark ditch. We fall down, we break our limbs, we suffer. Well, similarly, we all have this ahankar, this false ego, this desire to be the enjoyer, to be the controller, or as Srila Prabhupada would say, the lord of all you survey. This is the tendency of a conditioned soul. Therefore, we believe so much crazy propaganda because we want to believe it. Cigarettes. Every package of cigarettes says, this will kill you. We know it will kill us. But still, we're addicted to it. So some cowboy riding on a horse says, you smoke this cigarette, you will be strong, big, big man. We say, oh, yes, yes, very good. You smoke this, you breathe this smoke and fire in your lungs, and you will experience cool, refreshing sensation. We believe it. Prabhupada saw the ad. Cool. Refreshingly cool. And it has a picture of a young, handsome man and a beautiful young lady under a waterfall smoking cigarettes. Refreshingly menthol cool. Prabhupada says, just see, crazy. They say it's cool. You suck fire in your lungs and it's cool. And they believe it because they want to believe it. So we can believe anything. That is why Mahaprabhu said, Asat Sangha Tyaga Vaishnava Cho. If you want to become Krishna conscious, you must avoid the association of non-devotees and those who are too much attached to sense gratification, as long as we're neophyte Vaishnavas. When we become very, very great, advanced, pure souls, Srila Prabhupada, he went to the city of New York alone. He was living with a Mayavadi, and all around him were in the places where he had to, he was associating, he was living with so many prostitutes and not living with, but in the area of drunkards, dacoits, all kinds of people. But he wasn't the slightest bit fazed because he was constantly associating only with one person, his Guru Maharaj, by dedicating his life exclusively to his instruction. Therefore, like a lotus flower, even in a muddy place, was completely untinged because his roots were always deeply immersed in the instructions of his spiritual master. But we cannot imitate that. If we have any false ego, if we have any desire to enjoy, then the association of materialistic people will spoil our lives. We could believe any crazy thing. If we are disgruntled, if we have bad experiences in a certain situation of life, then it's very, very easy to believe any type of philosophy that comes by to justify what we would like to do. Thus, association is the most important principle. Rupa Goswami explains in Sri Bhaktivedanta Sindhu that without the association of devotees, you cannot follow any of the 9 processes of devotional service or the 64 items of devotional service properly. It is simply impossible. Srila Prabhupada said to try to be Krishna conscious without the association of devotees is insane. We're reading today a graphic example. Faith in the association of devotees takes long time to cultivate. The bhakti-lata bhij that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described to Sanatana Goswami, you plant that seed in the ground. You water it with hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. You protect it by nice association and following the regulative principles. Gradually that seed becomes a little sprout. And the sprout becomes a little creeper. Then it becomes a little bigger, 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 bigger. If you have seen a tree, some of these trees in India, everywhere in the world, they're thousands of years old. Some hundreds, some thousands of years. Big, big trees producing so many beautiful fruits and beautiful flowers. It takes 100 years for a tree to grow. But how long does it take to cut the tree down? In olden days, you had to do it with an axe. It might take about 45 minutes to cut it down. But with modern technology, now they have chainsaws, you can do it in 5 seconds. Finish. What has taken 400 years for this tree to develop, we can cut it down in 5 seconds. Faith is like that. Bhakti is like that. To develop this little seed of bhakti into real devotion is a lifetime job. It may have been many lifetimes that we have been growing this tree of devotion. We've been chanting our rounds. We've been following regulative principles. We've been performing austerities. We've been reading so much year after year after year to develop a certain type of faith and devotion. But we should know, just hearing blasphemy of Krishna, just hearing improper philosophy, just hearing aparads to Vaishnavas, what to speak of performing it ourselves, due to this association, within moments we can cut down what has taken a whole life to develop. This is why all of the acharyas, since time immemorial, have been giving us such strong warning who we must associate with, who we must avoid association. Who knows better of how to awaken devotion in our hearts than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaurikeshe Namaha. He is the most magnanimous, merciful of all incarnations because he's giving love for Krishna freely to everyone through the easy process of chanting the holy names of Krishna, serving Vaishnava, being compassionate to others. He is the Yuga Avatar. This verse is coming from him. Asatsanga Tyaga Vaishnavacha. You want to be Vaishnava? What is a Vaishnava? One who associates with devotees. Devotee doesn't mean one who has the Kanti Mala and Tilak necessarily. Devotee means one who is living according to his teachings, who is simple, humble, sincere, striving to purify his life according to Prabhupada and Krishna's instruction. That is devotee. And avoid the association of non-devotees and those who are too much attached to sense gratification. That means even devotees who are too much attached to sense gratification. If we associate with them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned, your Vaishnavism will be spoiled. If you associate with devotees, sincere, proper devotees, your spiritual life will develop with no hindrance, no problem. In the Alcoholics Anonymous organization, the first thing they tell alcoholic, do not associate with anyone that drinks. If you do, you're finished. You have so many years of addiction to this terrible drug. If you get near anybody who's taking it, you will not have the strength to resist. Association is everything. Similarly, we have all become, since time immemorial, addicted to the drug that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And if we associate anybody or anything that is promoting this, we don't have the strength to overcome it. Immediately that desire awakens in our heart and overcomes us. We have been addicted to sense gratification since time immemorial. Therefore, we must be very careful. We do not want to end up like Kamsa. The fate of anybody who tries to be the enjoyer and controller is ultimately Krishna appears before them as death personified. And those who are humble devotees, sincerely chanting, dancing and feasting under the divine guidance of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, to such a person Krishna appears as the beautiful Lord of Vrindavan, standing in his threefold bending form, enchanting our minds by playing his beautiful flute, casting his most infinitely satisfying loving glances upon us. What do you want in life? In which way do you want Krishna to appear before us? The way he appeared to the residents of Vrindavan, or the way he appeared to Kamsa? It is all based on our sincerity and the association that we keep. Very important. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Or comments? Maharaj, you can give a nice comment, please.
I'm very much in the question mode now. I can't switch. I have the question on my heart.
Thank you very much for your very well thought out and constructed class. I have a question to this, I think to Shraddha. You mentioned that the development of Shraddha is a long-term process comparable to the growth of a strong fruit-bearing tree. And you said that Shraddha can unfortunately be cut down by a wrong association, like a tree who may have grown for hundreds of years, but by a chainsaw is raised down from the ground in 5 seconds. Now, what can a devotee do who initially has Shraddha and who sees the chainsaw coming, so to say? A tree can't run away. He is a hopeless victim to the chainsaw. What can a devotee do when he sees philosophies which may attack basic tenets of his faith or situations in life which happen? What is the protective shield for a devotee against the forces in the material world which take away Shraddha?
Our destiny is dependent on our free will. A tree may have no choice. However, a human being has choice. When we see that chainsaw coming our way, or in other words, when we see that an agent of Maya is coming to attack my faith, to attack the principles of my devotional service, at that time we have to choose. On the basis of the intelligence that we have heard from the holy scriptures again and again and again of the importance of avoiding blasphemy or blasphemous ideas or improper philosophies, we have to be strong. Srila Prabhupada explained, you must read my books regularly. You must attend the classes regularly. If you are not reading Srila Prabhupada's books, if you are not attending the classes and really trying to understand, then you will not be able to discriminate. Your favorite enemy is your friend, and a friend is your enemy. Therefore, the beginning is we must have proper knowledge to discriminate. Srila Prabhupada insisted we read his books, study his books, discuss his books. Why? Because he knew we could not survive unless our intelligence was strong. Intelligence being strong means we have the power to discriminate. What is Maya and what is Krishna? What is truth and what is illusion? What is beneficial and what is harmful? And on the basis of that knowledge, we have to use our free will and act. If someone is speaking something that is threatening to our devotional life, essentially we have two choices. Either you defeat that person, or you go away. But if you stay and hear, it may be very subtle at the beginning, but you're drinking poison. Poison does not always act immediately. There are slow poisons and quick poisons. But once that poison comes into your consciousness, when it first comes in, you may not feel anything has happened. But it is there. It's eating away your face. We have to be careful. So my humble reply to your thoughtful question is, we have to either defeat soundly, or we must leave that place. We cannot subject ourselves to that. Nobody should be so proud to think, I could do it. I could subject myself to this. We should be humble and understand, I cannot. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would hear Mayavad philosophy, or anyone would call him the Lord, he would hold his ears and cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we're listening, thinking, it will not affect me. I'm very strong. But it will. You are not so strong. So we must either defeat, or we must go away. We cannot listen. We cannot subject ourselves. There's too much at risk. And we shouldn't take it lightly, the instructions of the Shastra. Yes, Devaki Nandi Prabhu?
We read previously that Kamsa spoke so nice philosophy. Not only he spoke in philosophy, but you know, he was also repenting. One of the verse said that, you know, Chamadvam, when he was, you know, begging forgiveness, you know, tear was flowing from his ear, I mean, and so on. Now, here we see that, you know, by, you know, there was one situation that, you know, he was repenting, tears were flowing, and now, here in other situation, that, you know, he totally changed. So why is Jogmaya will change whole thing?
Influenced by the association around. He was in the association of Vasudeva and Devaki, and in that nice association, Yogamaya spoke to him. So it affected his heart. And he understood that what he was doing was wrong. So that's the power of good association, even for demons. Prabhupada spoke in so many parts of the world, and just by hearing that word, it changed their lives. But then he came into the association of his ministers. They were like jackals. And when he heard from them, he was influenced by that association. Because he was so vulnerable. What Yogamaya told him was exactly what he didn't want to believe. However, he knew it was true. But when he came in the association of these envious materialistic ministers, they told him what his false ego wanted to believe is true. And by their association, all his understanding of the truth that Yogamaya spoke was covered. This, your false ego, my false ego, it is like a fire. And somehow or other, as we're practicing Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees, that fire is under control. Gradually it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller until if there's no fuel, by the mercy of Krishna, it's extinguished. But now somehow this false ego and this desire to lord it over material nature is under control by the order of the spiritual masters. However, when Kamsa came under the association of these ministers, or when we come in the association of those who are not devotees or too much attached to sense gratification, their actions, their words, it's like fuel for the fire of our false ego. The false ego of our lusty desires, our desires to enjoy, our greed, our envy, just becomes like a fire that very nice petrol has just been thrown on. So we have to stay away from those people throwing kerosene on the fire of our false ego. Because as soon as it touches, it becomes inflamed. And that's what happened to Kamsa. And that's what will happen to us. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
There seems to be, even within Vaishnava classes, there seems to be two definite group of people who both seem to be speaking from Shastra. So how do we know who is correct and how do we protect us against people, devotees who are not correct, both quoting Shastra?
Everyone quotes Shastra in religious circles. Mayavadis quote Shastras, the Karmakandis quote Shastras. Evam parampara. We have to be sincere. We have to be without duplicity. And we have to hear Bhagavad Gita as it is, without adulteration, without word jugglery, without interpretation. Srila Prabhupada quoted Shastra as it is. How many editions of Gita were in English language? When Prabhupada came to America, there was approximately 100 editions. Every one of them was quoting Shastra. But they were all giving their own egoistic interpretations. So we must understand Guru Sadhu Shastra as it is, not just a unique interpretation that no one has ever heard before, or that is being utilized or exploited by people. We should accept what is the Shastra, what is the understanding, according to what Srila Prabhupada explains in his books directly, as it is, and how it has been understood through our disciplic succession since time immemorial. And if we're a little bit sincere, it will make perfect sense. If we're not, so many people can quote so many things to justify anything. You can quote Shastra to justify eating meat. You can quote Shastra to justify taking drugs. You can quote Shastra to justify anything. Can you not? However, if we actually want the truth, the highest truth, we have to accept from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra as it is. Understand in its proper context. And that takes sincerity. Does that answer your question?
But a little variation. In past we have seen that devotees do commit mistakes, and at such times there have been some people who were criticized earlier, but they were correct finally. And if the same people again raise a question, should the general devotees, general masses, even consider it or should not consider it at all?
We should judge on the basis of what's in Srila Prabhupada's books. That is what is all important. Prabhupada said, my books are the law books for the next 10,000 years. So the leaders of our society are meant to protect the law and make sure no one adulterates the law. And mistakes may have been done, no doubt. But generally it's not the same people. Usually those who make serious mistakes are put off to the side. But we have to understand the content. What has Srila Prabhupada taught us? And there can be variations of how to implement it or how to apply it according to time, place, and circumstance. And there may be mistakes on that basis. But the essential principle of what is our sacred philosophy, Siddhanta, and tradition, that cannot be adulterated. That cannot in any way, shape, or form be compromised. The application of that principle, there may be variations in that. And there may be serious mistakes that come about by misappropriate application. But the essential philosophy must be preserved. Otherwise, our whole parampara becomes corrupted. Yes?
And association is everything. And it's most important. So many people in the world got up Srila Prabhupada association. And they all obviously had a fire of all Srila Prabhupada in their heart to enjoy. But some of them were influenced positively by Prabhupada's association, their life changed in a wonderful way. While a majority of them actually did not change, a large percentage did not change. So also there are so many devotees living in good association in our ashrams and outside. But still there are devotees who are in Maya in that association. So what I'm asking is that there seems to be something more than just association which is the deciding factor. Because there are people who are in association also, and still there seem to be problems in their lives, because of ego or whatever else. So what are those factors which really make association really fruitful? Because
there's something else also. Very excellent question. I hope I can give some answer that will satisfy. Free will is the factor. You have no hope without proper association. But within that association, you have to accept it properly. We may be associated with great devotees physically. If we are actually associating with them internally, by hearing their instructions, by striving to follow them, then we're actually associated. Srila Prabhupada explained that you can go to the forest and bring your 9 wives with you. You can bring your 6 wives, your 5 senses and your mind. So even though you're in the forest with so many rishis and sages, if your mind is meditating on your senses and mental platform, then you're really not associating at all. You can be chanting your japa. That's associating with Krishna. But if your mind is thinking of various sinful thoughts, if you're taking your mind away from those thoughts and somehow trying to put them back into the holy name, then Krishna sees you're trying to associate with his name. But if your mouth is moving the syllables, the mantra, and your mind is enjoying like anything thoughts of material sense gratification, what are you associating with? Are you associating with Krishna or sense gratification? You may be living in an ashram having all kinds of thoughts, how I will become better than this person, I'm envious of this person, how I will destroy this person, how I will get this position, how I will get this facility, how I will do like this and that. Are you actually associating with Krishna consciousness? To some degree. Therefore, the association of devotees is the means by which we can make spiritual advancement. However, our free will has to accept those means. Srila Prabhupada explained, you associate with him by following his instructions. You can hear his instructions, but if you do not follow, then the association is very weak. So yes, people can be living in ashram but thinking all kinds of other things and doing all kinds of other things. Are they really associating with those devotees around them? Not at all. Association, physical is necessary, but physical is meant to facilitate your inner conscious association. If you don't take that inner conscious association, then you're not associating at all. Sometimes people come to our movement to try to destroy it. They're just pretending. Like Prahlambasura. Prahlambasura disguised himself as a little cowherd boy. And he was associating with Krishna and all the other cowherd boys. He was in the best association. But was he in the mood of associating with Krishna and his devotees? He was playing with them. Vyomasura also disguised himself as a cowherd boy. They were both playing with Krishna. Vyomasura played the whole game with Krishna. He was in the best association in the entire existence. But was he actually associated? Physically, yes. But mentally, he had his own ulterior motives. He was not submissive. Advidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Real association is to be submissive. To inquire, to want to learn, to want to serve. If we associate with devotees in that spirit, we will go back to Godhead. But it is not just a mechanical thing. I am in the right place. We have to take advantage of the right place. You can have the most nutritious food, but if you do not eat it, you will get no benefits. Does that answer your question?
You can say simply that in the Russian market, sincerity of desire is the key also.
Yes.
That position would be fruitful.
Srila Prabhupada again and again told us, take this Krishna consciousness sincerely. Be sincere. If we are sincere, then Krishna will always help us. And that is our only hope. The mercy of Krishna. Vaishnavas. But there is a note saying I have to thank class. I would like to thank all of you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Radha Das Bihari ji ki, Ananti Gauri Vaishnava Vrinda ki.